with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario, Courtney Lopez joining me in studio, Grammy-winning icon, Mr. Michael Bolton. Welcome to the show, sir.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, we were just discussing before we hit air that we see each other constantly. Well, actually, you see me. I don't necessarily see you.
I don't think you see me, but I'm touring, you know, 60 countries. I'm out far away from home, and you're a great familiar face. And I feel like I know you, and I don't feel like I'm in Taipei, you know, which is where I am. But you're actually literally all over the world, so.
Oh, awesome!
That's great.
I'm traveling.
Are you getting the miles for it? No.
No, I'm not getting the miles. That's in the hotel room, by the way.
Good thing to consider. What are you getting for being in every country I go to?
Oh my gosh, that is
it's great,
awesome.
Though. Yeah, and you're great. You're so comfortable with it.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words. Now, you mentioned, of course, being on tour and. It being close to Valentine's Day, I got to imagine you're in high demand. This good time of year for you right now.
It's generally a busy time of year. I'm booked all around it. Going to be at the Saban Theater, which this will be the first time I've played there. It's a beautiful room.
Nice.
And all my friends are calling me for tickets and passes.
I bet.
So it's going to be a 10-hour meet and greet, I think, afterwards. No, but we're going to have a lot of fun and. Thing about touring this many years, or when the dinosaurs first started, the people often have this first record you ever made. Like it's multiple generations, especially with Captain Jack Sparrow showing up, 25 years later.
Right.
They know all the hits, and I feel so comfortable with them that I can basically start joking around from. The first song on.
Sure.
In between songs, we have conversations. They yell up some pretty interesting things. I respond, and the audience loves it.
It turns into a stand-up act.
as long as we get back to the music.
Right, exactly.
So you have dozens and dozens of hits. How do you choose what you perform?
So that's a good question because we often have to change it up because we'll eventually hear... I really miss this song or that song. Sometimes I don't want it to be too ballad heavy because I don't want to start selling pillows at the shows. Although actually they do pillow covers. But that's not the idea, is putting everyone to sleep. It's the tempo of the show and what makes the show work really well. And at the same time, you really, I've been at it a long time. And once I developed a loyal following, I wanted to make sure I knew what they wanted. It's a relationship,
Right.
So we have a way of introducing like a medley of some of the hits and keep the show moving and then come back with more tempo.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I like to feel we've kind of perfected it.
Yeah.
But I took the greatest hits and recorded a 65-piece orchestra to it.
Ooh,
wow.
Beautiful.
So now, 65 pieces?
That's small. Like that a must small sound army. Amazing.
It's a huge musical army.
Yeah.
And we'll have on the 6th, we'll have about a dozen string players on stage. And so in a way, we're going to actually have the orchestra present.
Wow.
So the audience is sitting there going to be hearing it. Symphonically, something really powerful.
Oh, I bet that sounds beautiful. Yeah.
Changes it up for us. It makes it fresh for us. And sonically, it's so rich and beautiful cellos and violas moving while I'm singing the hits that I've been singing for 35 years.
You mentioned, 35 years. I'm always curious because I love a raspy voice, right? How do you, and I know the your voice is like a muscle too. How do you, what?
Yeah, literally.
What measures do you take to take care of the voice? Are you be careful of not screaming a lot? Do you not smoke or drink? Is that irrelevant? Because I used to see Sinatra and he'd have he'd always have a Jack in his hand and a cigarette and he still sounded great. So maybe it's just with the individual.
There are some people that no rules pertain to, but every once in a while you'll see it. And of course, seeing cigarette smoke coming out of someone's mouth in between a vocal line.
Because he used to perform that way, right? He'd have the cigarette, he'd have the jack.
All the shots from Vegas.
Sure.
He's got glass in his hand and a cigarette, and it's like, that's the don't do that poster. he could get away with it, and we have no idea why. And some people just, it's what they're made of. But I got invited to sing with Pavarotti, Domingo, and Carreras. And
oh, wow.
Went to Italy and performed. And these guys have their necks wrapped up like four times over. Mm-hmm. They live religiously to protect those two two vocal cords, the two muscles that make their lives what they wanted since they were kids. And being able to sing, like, it's the great thing about sports is, you know, we're similar and we travel and we take what we love out on our, out on tour basically. And we love it our lifetime long. But in sports, you know, you get in your 30s, somebody's faster than you on the, you know, on the bench.
Right.
Somebody's looking for your gig, like, you know, at a really young age. Music, if you work hard enough and have good luck with that, you can do it your whole life if you take care of your instrument.
You got to take care.
And sleep is.
And sleep is like the 8 hour recharge for your body is the absolute most important thing. Mm-hmm. You're right on it. It's like,
I always say that sleep is so incredibly underrated.
You notice the difference in a long day.
Even my speaking voice and everything, yes.
Yeah. I'm actually trying to speak a little bit more like this than, you know, the raspy voice, which is down here.
Raspy voice is cool.
raspy voice has its advantages. It's singing. But you can. I can't hang out with the band and crew. The band and crew are the most fun people that I, they, a lot of them have been with me for like 30 years. They have so much fun and they're laughing constantly after the show. But that means if I hang with them, I'm laughing constantly too.
Is laughing bad for the throat?
After a 2 hour concert, you're really supposed to zip it.
Really?
And become a really good listener.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
But if you hang out with people who are fun, you're going to be laughing.
Yeah.
You're going to be talking over the noise that's around. And at some point, I learned that I had to pace myself, how many shows I could do within a certain period of time, get on stage and still have the high C and have the big notes.
Right.
The belting notes. Because that's what people are used to with the records. You know, they know the melodies, but I don't want them thinking I'm taking it easy now.
Right. Oh, I love that you take the craft so serious and
so
passionate.
I feel like I still have to hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, there you go.
So no, it's not a base hit kind of career.
Yeah, you know you're getting a great show.
So you have to be pretty much religious about it.
Yeah.
This is the 30th anniversary of your first Grammy win, and you beat out guys like Prince and Richard Marx. Yes.
Is it really the 30th anniversary?
What do you remember about that time?
Yeah, of course, it was the first year. It was a Jeopardy question. It was a Jeopardy question. How am I supposed to live without you? It was the first number one of the year 30 years ago.
I remember when it came out.
Oh my.
I was around.
That's when I had a good feeling my kids were going to actually eat food.
You'd be able to feed them.
I actually started to believe it at that point. That was my first Grammy. It was quite an experience because I was signed when I was 16 to Epic Records.
Wow.
But I didn't have a hit till I was 34 as an artist.
Wow. Talk about paying your dues.
So I think I paid a few other people's dues along the way somehow. So. And then my songwriting career had taken off. So I learned that that's the lifeblood of the industry is material. It's great, great material. It's a lot of great singers and they disappear when they don't have a hit or when they don't choose to record the hit. So I learned that. But how do I feel about it? I mean, I got a phone call from the president of Columbia Records. I was in my apartment alone and picked up the phone and was like, "What, Donny Einer, why is he calling me? What's going on now? He wants me to do a promotion or something. Michael, I just wanted to let you know that next week you have the number one record in America." And to someone who is just finally having a career, you know, I hung up the phone and I got really quiet and just tried to believe it and take it in and appreciate it. But I've been born driven, so it's always, success has always become like the fuel for the next mission.
Good quality.
But I've had some time now to really like think about it and appreciate it and be grateful.
And now you have grandkids?
6.
Wow. Are they into your music?
It's hard to even say what they're allowed to hear because the oldest one is 9.
Okay.
So they're 9 down to 4. They order up their own music. They have different devices that they're allowed to have that have been parent-proofed.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And they're growing up really fast. But they've been to concerts. 4 out of 6 have been to my shows.
Fun.
And they have a lot of fun there. They basically run the place.
Oh, I'm sure.
Do any of your children sing?
They all sing, but they're not interested in singing, you know, for a career.
Huh. It is genetic though, right? If you can,
I think so. I think historically it is.
Like, did your parents sing, your grandparents, or
my mother did. My mother was where our voice and our appreciation for music came from.
Got it.
My father, not so much.
Got it.
You don't want
my wife and I
didn't want him to sing.
With my wife being the singer, by the way, not me.
Musical genes went over here. You know, but I would encourage it, like, if they wanted to go for it, I would, you know, do whatever I could or teach them whatever I could and introduce them to whoever I could.
Yeah.
To help accelerate the process. But I think I was kind of relieved that they didn't want to do it for a career.
Mm. Sure.
Because of everything else that comes with the business and
right.
because it took me 18 years. And I don't advise that trek into the desert for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's definitely a grind. This is a fun fact. Early in your career, you opened for Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes.
That's amazing. I would have never done that. Were you a metalhead, or how did that come about?
more hard rock, you know, not quite metal. I mean, I was a big Zeppelin fan. I love Bad Company. We were supposed to be the American Bad Company. The group was Blackjack.
Blackjack.
I had done rock and blues and everything in clubs when I was 13 years old. My hair was down to here.
13?
Wire rim. Yeah, I was not legally allowed to be in it.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But nobody said anything, and I was the lead singer, so they wanted to kick out the band. And we did everything. We did blues. I was 13. I was singing, I was born in Chicago, 1941. Well, actually, I wasn't born in 1941, but that was the blues.
Yeah.
And people would just go and stare at me like, what is this?
Who's this kid?
but we were filling clubs, you know? And then in the 70s, a manager who handled Led Zeppelin and Bad Company said he wanted to put together a band around me. And hard rock is what he knows. And you're not going to argue with a guy like that. He's got Zeppelin platinum
right.
all over the place. And I did two rock albums. And towards the end of that, we got invited to open for Ozzy in San Juan in the Roberto Clemente baseball stadium.
Yeah, in Puerto Rico. Mm. Wow, yeah. What a trip.
And so when we went over really well and we thought we were doing well, and then Ozzy walked out and he went like this, and 30,000 people went like this. And then if you went like that, they did that. And whatever you did, it was like scary.
Yeah.
But he was such a pleasure. After the show, I met him backstage. And he was such a normal, nice guy.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be like bat heads.
Sure, just hanging around, right.
It was a great experience. And opened at the same place, indoors, the Clemente Arena. I opened for Santana.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
Carlos told me after the show, you're going to be big inside of a year. And I was like, wow, I hope he knows something. I don't know because, you know, I'm still just struggling with the rent.
Yeah.
He was off by about 8 years.
But he saw it.
But he saw something.
Yeah.
It meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody you really respect that much. So. I didn't hear him laughing in the corner. So I told him in a year. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Do you have a favorite country that you've toured and performed at?
Wow. Kind of tough because for different reasons. I love these different places. Like, I love the UK because it's been my second biggest market in the world since my first hit in 87. Everything started being kind of echoed in the UK, in England. And now I just, we park there for a month and go up and down the country. And I love the people, and they obviously are big fans. They know all the music. But I love Italy. I eat too much when I'm there, but it's one of the things I love about it.
Right. Yeah.
No choice, right?
Right.
And it's healthier.
Right.
it's fresh.
Yeah. Right.
The extra 9 pounds were fresh 9 pounds.
Yeah.
It's good for the books.
Australia. Love Australia. My best friend moved there and never came back, and I didn't understand why till I went there.
Right.
There are a lot of places, really. Going back to Chile, doing some dates around the world, and Santiago is one of my favorite
that's
places
awesome.
To perform.
That's a beautiful thing about music is it really just it transitions any sort of culture, language barrier. Very, very cool to get to do that.
I'm grateful for that.
Quick questions, quick answers, okay?
Well, you know, I just got this phone call. I have to help someone move a refrigerator.
Very easy. Very easy.
Okay.
All-time favorite singer?
Ray Charles.
Song you're proudest of?
tough one. How am I supposed to live without you?
Oh, yes.
Movie.
I got the right answer. Thank you for that.
Movie you've seen the most.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Makes sense every Christmas time, sure. Celebrity crush growing up.
Wow. Marilyn Monroe.
Okay. Who plays you in the Michael Bolton story?
Wow. Okay. I'm hoping, because we're working on that story.
Oh.
I'm hoping it's someone who can sing R&B, blues, rock, pop, and opera.
All order right there.
That's why I'm hoping.
Okay. Superpower. You could have one.
That was close.
Puts a lot of thought. I like it.
Yeah, because if I got serious, I did get serious. I'd want to have the ability to cause people to just chill, take a moment, calm down.
That's a good ability. I think that's, you kind of have that superpower. I feel very zen-like right now.
I didn't want to say world peace, you know, but,
right.
But that peace comes from quiet and calm.
Right.
Cooler heads and that kind of soul stuff.
I think you're accomplishing that. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and visit with us. OnWithMario.com for all the ticket and tour dates. Michael, thank you so much. And good luck on the road.
Pleasure. Great to see you again.
You too, my friend. Go. On with Mario Lopez.